Excuse me. It takes great faith to be willing to not have all the answers. It takes great faith to wonder, to question, and yes, even doubt. It takes great faith to imagine and work to create an alternative future with no guarantees it will make a difference. Do you think Mance Muncy, when he was laid off from the Oakland A's, that he could see himself Friday night ending the longest game in the World Series history, winning that game with a home run for his team? Do you think he could imagine that when the A's said goodbye? Probably not. But it happened. Wouldn't that it happened last night as well? Very sad night last night. When he was set loose by the Oakland A's, you know what he did? He went and he worked on his batting swing with his dad. In spite of not knowing what the future, he went back to work to imagine a future. Then he got on with the Dodger farm team. He was pulled up from the farm team mid-season. Wow. And here he is, playing the World Series. Didn't see that coming. Takes great faith to imagine and work to create an alternative future with no guarantees it will make a difference. 2 weeks ago, I was worshiping at Old South United Church of Christ in Boston with our son. It happened to be a baptism Sunday. Our United Church of Christ colleagues baptize infants. And 100 years ago, that had been fighting words, yes, unfortunately. Five families went to the chancel area because, well, let me say why that would be fighting words about 100 years ago, because this denomination doesn't baptize babies, and we argued about that with other, we like to argue about that with other people. We don't do that anymore. New occasions teach new duties, right? Five families went to the chancel area. My friend Emily was so excited because she got to baptize Claire Maud, cute little name. And there were twin baby girls being baptized that day whose parents are two mothers. Old South is a progressive church. They welcome and affirm all people. And let me tell you, all those babies were really, really cute. As soon as the families began making their way to the chancel, a man erupted from his pew and began shouting about the evils of infant baptism. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, he did. I didn't want to give this man any of my attention or energy. I so much wanted to look. Also, it was a little scary, but I kept my eyes forward and glued on the senior pastor, Nancy Taylor, who kept her eyes on the unfolding situation. Apparently, when this guy first arrived, his plan was to disrupt the service, but he had a different lead. His lead was to damn them for practicing fornication, sexual immorality, et cetera, yada, yada. Well, when I first saw this guy before worship started, I thought, that man's trouble. My pastor senses tingled. I just knew that man's trouble. He had let an usher know what was bothering him. God bless him. And the usher politely encouraged him to consider that, you know, today's baptism Sunday. Maybe come back and do this another day. Instead of leading out with the sexual immorality and other various and sundry theological problems he saw, he led out with the evils of baptism, infant baptism. And he eventually got to sexual immorality, fornication, and the like. As the ushers quietly, three of them, two men, one woman, just came around him, quietly and calmly. Never touched him, never touched the man, and escorted him down the center aisle, out to the narthex, where the lead usher welcomed him to the outdoors. This congregation that Old South has also been trained in active shooter. What to do when an active shooter, this man with all these innocents on the chancel, He could have been carrying a weapon. He could have been. Nancy Taylor, the senior pastor, began to reclaim this sacred space with words of why we are here. She didn't let his anger, his hate, continue to fill the sanctuary. It was scary. I admit it. Old South UCC is a decidedly progressive Christian community in a very urban setting, across from the public library, the Boston Public Library. It is the church at the finish line of the Boston Marathon. They know violence firsthand, but they refuse to give up the gospel as they know it and are learning it. Their future is not certain. They are willing to stand with Christ for the sake of God's love. They are in the boat with Jesus traveling the river, willing to not know what's around the river bend. It's an amazing congregation, amazing place. It takes great faith to imagine and work to create an alternative future with no guarantees it will make a difference. It takes great faith to live with uncertainty and the risk of failure. I feel this right now as we are working with other ICON institutions on the housing crisis. ICON is Inland Communities Organizing Network. We work with other institutions, right now primarily faith communities. We work with each other on matters that matter to us. And right now, it's the housing crisis. And one of our member institutions is Temple Beth Israel. I don't have words for my rage and my grief this morning for what happened in Pittsburgh. I just don't have words. All I know is that we have colleagues on Town Avenue who are fearful and wondering, and there's no room for anti-Semitism in this world, and certainly not in this country. And it is the only place where this congregation is in relationship with a Jewish community of faith. And I think that's a wonderful thing we're able to learn from together. So right now we're trying to address this intractable problem of housing, right? It seems intractable. The California Apartment Association estimates the state is at least 1 million housing units short of what's needed today. 1 million short today. When you see people living on the street, that's just the tip of the iceberg. For every one person you see, for every one of Roy who lives and moves around here, there are seven other people who are couch surfing or living in a vehicle or some other temporary shelter situation. And the number of people who face a threat of displacement is unknown. Our state ranks 49th in the country in housing availability. We've got to have more places for people to move into. So could we make a contribution to that as an organization? That's what we've been imagining together. And we made some progress last Tuesday night at our meeting. We did, and it was encouraging. But I admit, it's both fearful and hopeful for me. What if we fail? What, we can't see what's around the corner, what's around that river bend, what's over that horizon in that picture. Where does that river go? We don't know for certain. If all our decisions, though, have to filter through this fail-proof screen, we will never try anything. So I remember looking around the room on Tuesday night, knowing I'm not in it alone. We're not in it alone. I looked around the room and I saw people with creativity and hope who want to imagine and work for an alternative future that cannot yet be seen. Now, whether it's a huge societal problem or a problem that we ourselves are facing, we are not in it alone. And there are other people with creativity and hope who want to imagine and work for an alternative future. This is the experience that Jesus invites us into, an alternative future that cannot yet be seen. It has to be experienced. It's in your bulletin. There's a little quote from Alfred North Whitehead. He's a philosopher and mathematician. Without the high hope of adventure, religion deteriorates into the mere appendage of a comfortable life. But I really want a comfortable life. I just don't want to have so much worry and frustration. Couldn't I just have that? You know, even if I leave the way of Jesus, there are no guarantees, right? There are no guarantees. So if you signed up for the Christian faith thinking, oh, it's going to be smoother sailing in this boat, well, let me tell you, you're in the wrong boat. Jesus invited people into an experience. Come and follow me. Let me show you what healing is. Let me show you what fellow tableship is. Let me show you what a story can do to turn your life inside out and open up your heart and your mind. Come, follow me and experience the divine presence in you and all around you. It will require you to grow in ways you cannot yet anticipate. The poet John Keats wrote a letter to his brothers in December of 1817. Included were these words: negative capability is when a person is capable of being in uncertainties, mysteries, and doubts without any irritable reaching after fact and reason. In other words, negative capability is a good thing. It means we can be in uncertainties and mysteries and doubts without any irritable reaching after fact and reason. It's essential, this capability, in the life of faith. It's essential for individuals and for communities of faith. I've never much liked this passage I chose for today's sermon. If any want to be my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Those who want to save their life will lose it. Those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. Yeah, I've never much liked it. So why did I pick it? You know, I never much liked it because it was and continues to be used to abuse people who are already down. People already denied their humanity were and they continue to be told, if you're really a Christian, you'll deny what you need. However, let's back up a couple thousand years and read it a little more contextually to the people that Mark was writing to and remembering Jesus to them. It's basically a warning label, like you see on drugs and aspirin, and it says side effects may include. Standing with Christ in every culture often puts people at odds with their society. Stand with Jesus, you may experience being denied respect by the world as it is. You may experience being denied success as defined by market forces. You will be denied understanding. If you don't experience some of this some of the time, then I'd recommend that you return to the teachings and life of Jesus and check how you're living in alignment with the way of Christ and the values he taught, that he lived, that he died for. And about once a month, I get a letter or an email filled with scripture verses and words telling me our faith community is wrong, damned, on the wrong course. Yeah, I get those letters and emails. Some of them are 4 and 5 pages long. How dare you tolerate a female pastor? That's right. How dare you tolerate people who have different sexuality than what I think is normal, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And once in a while, I'll glance through the message and read some of it, but always, always it goes in the trash because it's trash talk. It is dangerous to stand with Christ. But there's no other boat I'd rather be in. I invite you to consider how you're traveling with Jesus this day as we sing our hymn of dedication, The Summons.